Grace and peace to you and to me from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I bring you greetings this morning from our Bishop, Bill Gohl, and from the rest of our Synod staff. I want you to know that we pray for you, and we thank God for your partnership in ministry. My role, as you can read in my bio, is to inspire generosity throughout our Synod in the forms of congregational mission support and our Synod's Where Needed Most Fund that comes from individuals like some of you sitting here today or some of you watching online. Hi, Donna. Do you remember your baptism? Raise your hand. I was 6 when I was baptized, so I remember mine. But if you grew up in the Lutheran tradition, chances are you were an infant. Perhaps you've seen pictures or held on to a family baptismal gown. Perhaps you were baptized in a church similar to this one, or in this one. My daughter, Quinn, was born in March of 2020. What was happening in March of 2020? Yes, so it was when all the church buildings were closing down, and so Quinn was baptized in our church parking lot. There are differences in faith traditions based on the amount of water that we use. In ours, we sprinkle. In some, you are dunked. But no matter where or when you were baptized, the promise we receive from God and the promises we make remain the same. This morning, we meet Jesus at the Jordan River. This moment is familiar to many of us, so familiar that it's easy to gloss over. John is there, the wilderness preacher, calling people to repentance, leading them to the water of baptism for new life, turning away from their sin and turning towards God. And then Jesus shows up, not as a distant observer or even as a holy exception, but stepping into the same muddy water as everyone else. John is understandably confused. I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? In other words, this is not how this is supposed to go. You're the one without sin. You're the one who should be doing the baptizing. And yet Jesus insists, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." At the Jordan, Jesus fully enters human life, not just the joys of it, but the vulnerability of it. He enters the water not because he needs repentance, but because we do. Through Jesus' baptism, he shows us that God's work often happens not in spectacle, but in shared obedience and quiet faithfulness. And then something extraordinary happens. The heavens are opened. The Spirit descends like a dove, and a voice speaks, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Before Jesus heals anyone, before Jesus teaches a parable, before he calls one disciple, before he goes to the cross, God names him Beloved. That's how God works. Identity comes before achievement, belonging before doing, grace before anything else. And friends, this is not just Jesus' story, this is our story, because in our baptisms, we too are named. We are claimed. We are called beloved children of God, not because of what we bring to the table, not because of what we accomplish for the church, but because God delights in us. This is at the heart of our Lutheran theology. We are justified by grace alone, loved before we are useful, claimed before we are capable. And yet this grace is not passive. Jesus comes up out of the water and immediately begins his ministry. Baptism is not the end of the story, it's the beginning of a life shaped by a calling. And the same is true for us. Baptism sends us out, not as perfect people, but as people who know who we are and whose we are. It sends us out to live for the sake of the world God loves. That's where our shared ministry comes in. You knew I was going to get there, right? We often talk about the church as a building or a congregation or a Sunday morning worship service. But baptism reminds us that the church is a living, moving body, a people sent into the world. And none of us live out that calling alone. In the Lutheran tradition, we do this together. as congregations connected in synods, as ministries linked by shared mission, as people who know that God's work is always bigger than one place or one pastor or one congregation or one generation. If you hear nothing else from me today, please hear this. Thank you. Thank you for the ways that you support the ministry of our synod, not out of obligation, but as an expression of your baptismal calling. Your generosity makes it possible the ministry that no single congregation could do on its own. Through your giving, your prayers, and your partnership, lives are shaped, leaders are formed, and the gospel is proclaimed far beyond these walls. One place where this is especially visible is in youth ministry. At Jesus' baptism, God declares, "This is my son, the beloved." And every time we invest in young people, every time we mentor emerging leaders, every time we create space for questions, doubts, growth, courage, we're echoing that same declaration. You are beloved. You belong. God has a future for you. In November, this past November, at our largest youth event in years, our young people took time to write care notes for members of our congregations who are homebound or in need of some encouragement. Through your support, young people are discovering that the church is not something they inherit, it's something that they help shape. They're finding their voices in worship, in service, in leadership. They're learning that faith is not about having all the answers, but about trusting a God who shows up in the water, in the wilderness, and in the ordinary rhythms of life. One member of the Lutheran Youth Organization, Micah, shared this testimony at the event. He said, "I rewatch my church service online multiple times a week. I read my Bible and pray constantly. My newer, stronger connection with God has taught me to further live by my favorite Bible verse, and the one I was named after, Micah 6:8. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. I now pride myself in being a Christian and even more in being a Lutheran." And leadership development, which you all at Epiphany are so good at, works the same way. We don't raise up leaders because they are flawless. We raise them up because they are called, because the Spirit is already at work in them, because God delights in using imperfect people to proclaim a perfect grace. Every pastor encouraged, every lay leader trained, every young person empowered is part of this unfolding baptismal story, a story that you help write through your faithfulness. And people of Epiphany, here's the beautiful truth. When you support this shared ministry, you're not just funding programs, you're participating in God's ongoing declaration of love in the world. This is my beloved child. This is my beloved church. These are my beloved people sent for the sake of the world. At the Jordan, the heavens are opened, and in Christ, they remain open. God is still speaking. The Spirit is still moving. And through your generosity, your trust, your partnership, God is still calling beloved children into lives of purpose and hope. So may we live as baptized people, grounded in grace, grateful for one another, and confident that the God who named Jesus beloved is still at work among us. Thank you. Amen.